writer of Hebrews says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Hey, it is T-9 and counting until Christmas, and kids are getting excited, and churches are gearing up for their Christmas Eve service. In most churches, that's a time where we can share the gospel, where lots of people come and families come together. Hey, we're going to go to church on Christmas Eve. We have a big candlelight Christmas Eve communion service, Lord's Supper service. Every Christmas Eve, that's one of our biggest services of the year. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel. But then the question comes in for pastors and for churches, hey, what do we do this year because Christmas Day falls on a Sunday? And, you know, we're busy on Christmas Day. And so how can we have church on Sunday when it's Christmas Day? And many have opted to say, well, you know, we're just going to cancel it. We'll just have it online. Spoiler alert, to me, that makes absolutely no sense. If Jesus is the reason for the season, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We don't know when he was born, but we celebrate his birth on December 25th. And if he is the reason for the season, it makes no sense to me at all that we would say, hey, Lord, we want to celebrate your birthday, but how we're going to celebrate it is by not coming. And we're just going to stay home and do it as a family. And so lots of controversy about that question. Do we gather on Sunday, December 25th, or do we not? Does God have anything to say about it, or is that just a personal preference and it makes no difference? Well, to help me with this question is my good friend, Dr. Tom Askell. Dr. Tom Askell is pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and the president of the Founders Ministry. Dr. Tom, welcome to the program.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me on. I'm always delighted to have a conversation with you on your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, my brother. And so, okay, pastor, you've been pastoring Cape Coral, Florida, Grace Baptist Church for 36 years. And Tom, you've gone through a lot of seasons where Christmas falls on a Sunday. Would you say this is a relatively new phenomenon where churches are saying, well, we're not going to meet on Christmas Day? If you go back 30 years, were churches canceling Christmas Day services when it landed on Sunday?
Not that I can recall. The first time that I even heard this being discussed was probably maybe 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it fell on Sunday in the last cycle. And there were people talking about not having church on that particular Sunday because it was the 25th. But sometime around there, maybe a little before that time, I heard churches talking about J.D. Greer, particularly in North Carolina, saying, we do so much work the week of Christmas, leading up to Christmas with our Christmas presentation and pageant, that we're giving everybody the day off on the Sunday after, whenever it fell around that era. And that just struck me as strange. But now it's become increasingly common among erstwhile Bible-believing pastors to say, yeah, we're not going to hold worship of the Lord Jesus Christ because we're going to celebrate his birth. And as you just described previously, on its face, that just sounds really, really odd.
Well, it does. And I was thinking about this, Tom. You know, if church is an event— I've heard John MacArthur talk about this. He said, you know, we don't call it a church service anymore. Some churches still call it a church service, but other, you know, it's a countdown to the event, and Sunday mm-hmm. becomes an event. And they put on, maybe this is a crude expression, but they're kind of putting on a show. That's not what church is.
Right. Right, that's exactly right.
So for those people, if church becomes an event, then it's hard to put on the show when it is on when Christmas falls on a Sunday, because it's hard to get the childcare workers and all that. But if church is a time to worship the Lord, then it doesn't matter, you know, Christmas Day on Sunday. Well, hey, we're gathering to worship, and that's a special day to worship because that's the day that we have determined is the day that we celebrate his birth. So it seems like a contradiction in terms if we say, well, we're going to stay home to celebrate.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Jeff, you and I have talked before about this whole idea of theoretical inerrancy, theoretical inerrantists, those who say, yeah, we believe the Bible, and we will defend the authority of Scripture. But I think because of assumptions that they have just kind of gone unexamined, to having not examined them the last 20 to 50 years, that commitment to the authority of Scripture is indeed more theoretical than practical. And I think this is another key example of how the world has discipled the church more than the church discipling the world. Because as you think about this, okay, is Christmas, is celebrating the birth of Jesus commanded in Scripture anywhere? Well, it's really not. It's not. I mean, I'm glad we do it because Jesus is our king and cultures have celebrated the birth of their kings from time immemorial, and it's an appropriate thing for us to do. So I'm not opposed to it, but whenever you're saying we're going to live by the book, well, the book doesn't command us to celebrate Christmas. And so I said it last week in our public worship time, look, if you don't celebrate Christmas, that doesn't mean you're sinning. It doesn't mean you're less spiritual or you love Jesus less because you're not required to do that. And the Puritans in their day, many of them spoke very strongly against recognizing and celebrating Christmas because of that very fact. But does the Bible command us to honor the Lord's Day? Well, I would say yes, it does. I think we see it in the Ten Commandments, and of course the Jewish Sabbath was on the Saturday, the last day of the week. But in the New Testament, we see this emphasis on the Lord's Day. And Jesus said, you know, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so I think there's still a principle of honoring the Lord with our time, and one day in seven gives us the opportunity to do that. And so I would argue, yes, as the verse you read from Hebrews 10 earlier, we are called not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we are seeking to honor the Lord of the Sabbath and to set aside a weekly rhythm of one day, the Lord's Day, to come together as the church. And now we have this cultural holiday that I want to participate in, but it overlays with what Christ in his word has told us to do. And we're going to not do what Christ has told us to do and do what the culture tells us to do. And I think it's a classic example of not intentionally, but just subtly how we have been shifted and discipled effectively by the culture rather than helping the culture to understand this is what the Lord Jesus says.
Well, Tom, I had Janet Mefford on the program a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Andy Stanley and, you know, his approach to church, the deep and wide book, and we need to do things like Jesus did them. And I was talking to Chuck Kelly, and I said, Chuck, how would you classify Jesus' public ministry? Was it more like a Billy Graham crusade, or was it more like a church service? And he said, well, it would be more like a Billy Graham crusade. It was more evangelistic, you know, in emphasis. And so, you know, this idea, and I've debated this in my mind over and over, and I read the book Deep and Wide. I don't know if you might have read it. But I just think he's missing the boat. That's not what church is. Church is not an evangelistic crusade.
Right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's the gathering of God's people to worship and honor the God who has redeemed us through the life and death and resurrection of his Son. And so God is the focus, and God's the one that we should be listening to tell us even how we are to approach him. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, there's lots of warnings about coming before the Lord with offerings that are not acceptable, with hearts that are wrong, though you're doing outwardly the right things. And so we need to take to heart the fact that our God is a consuming fire, and we should worship him in reverence. But we do have what I think Robert Raymond has called doxological evangelism that happens in church worship. 1 Corinthians 14, where unbelievers fall down in the midst of a worship service and say, surely God's in this place. Well, we want that to happen, but that happens because God's people are worshiping the living God, and unbelievers who don't know that living God come among us and they're convicted and their thoughts are exposed. And I mean, how many times have you had this happen as a pastor where somebody says, "Pastor, I thought you were talking to, you know, just to me," or an unbeliever comes and feels like somebody's ratted him out to the preacher because the Word of God has done its work as a two-edged sword in dividing the thoughts and intents of the heart, and people are convicted. So we do see, and we want to see people converted in our worship services, but we don't want to tailor our worship services to unbelievers so that we don't do anything offensive or whatever. No, we worship the living God, and God uses that through the ministry of His Word and Spirit to reveal Christ savingly to unconverted people that are with us, and we want them to be with us in our times of worship.
Tom, how would you respond to this? Because I've seen this on Twitter, you know, people defending the fact that we're not going to have, we're not going to gather on Christmas Day because it, or Sunday because it's Christmas Day. Romans 14, one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So when you think about regarding one day above another, and some have used that argument, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, well, I'm very convinced Paul's not talking about the weekly rhythm of life in gathered worship there. I don't think he's talking about the weekly Sabbath. You go to Colossians 2, where he uses similar kinds of arguments about, you know, don't let anybody bind you based on days or Sabbaths. And unfortunately, many of our English translations say Sabbath singular, but it's Sabbath plural, which there were multiple Sabbaths in the Old Testament. There were special Sabbaths. And what Paul is talking about in Romans 14 are these Jewish customs regarding holidays, you know, special seasons as well as special diets. And so it's diets and days, the calendar that is in focus in that context, because they had Jewish Christians in Rome and they had Gentile Christians, and there's a lot of historical background there, but the Gentile Christians had come to leadership during a five-year exile of Jews from Rome, and when they come back, they've got these tensions. And Paul says, no, don't divide over this. So if Paul is talking about the weekly Lord's Day there, then that argument would have to be allowed to sustain people who say, look, I'm not going to regard Sunday as any big deal any time of the year. I mean, if it's worth not attending the Lord's worship service with God's people in the church on one special Sunday, well, then why isn't that true for the other 51 Sundays? And you can't judge me because Romans 14, you know, 5 through 9 says exactly that. Well, that's not what he's talking about. And if a pastor or a church uses that argument, they need to be prepared to let people say, hey, we're going to worship on Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday, or maybe not even do it. You know, we'll come together whenever it fits our schedule. And once you go down that road, you've lost. You have misled people. You have forgotten the fact that the God who gave us the gospel in His Son, the Lord Jesus, also gave us His law, His commandments, and He loves His law as much as He loves His gospel. And the law tells us what we are to do, and of course we can't do it. And the gospel supplies us with what we need because we can't do what He requires. But in that gospel, in that grace, we want to do what God requires. And I would argue that, yeah, the Lord requires us to set aside time for Him. And in the new covenant, that time is the Lord's day. So I think that anybody that's using that argument, and I, like you, have seen it multiple times in the last couple of weeks, they need to be prepared for their people to work that out to its logical conclusion and say, you have no right to tell me I need to come to church on any Sunday.
Yeah, great point. Well, we've been talking to Dr. Tom Askell, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. Tom, we just have a few seconds, but how are you guys doing post-hurricane?
You know, brother, we're doing pretty well. We've moved out of the relief phase, and we're in the recovery phase. That's going to last for many, many months. And then we're looking at the rebuilding phase, which will be years. So we appreciate your kindness and support of us and your congregation and other churches throughout the United States. We're just so grateful. God's used those gifts to really help us move forward.
Amen. Dr. Tom Askell, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back taking your calls.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial-strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The Christmas story is ultimately about God's plan of redemption, and this week, Alistair Begg explores Zechariah's prophecy, the essential role that John the Baptist played in preparing the way for the Messiah, and the humble yet spectacular arrival of Jesus. Study with us on Truth for Life with Alistair
Begg. Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the question of church on Christmas Sunday morning. You know, every 7 years, Christmas falls on a Sunday, and just recently, probably in the last two cycles, churches have said, well, we just can't do church on Christmas Day because it's just too hard, too many people that are out, and so we'll just cancel it. Just do church at home with your families. And to me, that just doesn't make sense. If Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is, Christmas is all about celebrating his birth. We get it all convoluted with Santa and elves and gifts and cookies and gingerbread men, all that stuff. And those things aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, but the reason for the season is Jesus, and we celebrate him. It's good news of a great joy that unto you this day in the city of David there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so we look forward to gathering on Christmas Sunday morning to worship him. And we're going to do something very, very simple at First Baptist Texarkana. Hey, we're just going to sing and we're going to worship the Lord. And we're really excited about doing Christmas Day baptisms. And we have 10 people signed up to be baptized on Christmas. Well, 12 people signed up to be baptized on Christmas morning. Our good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, his two little girls, Anna and Emma, both have trusted Christ, and they're going to be baptized on Christmas Sunday morning, along with 10 others. And, you know, baptism is a special thing. It's not, we don't believe for a second baptism saves a person, but we believe baptism is the first thing the Lord asks us to do. Once we give our heart and life to Him, then we give a testimony. Baptism is a visible picture of an invisible reality, and baptism is always done in a pool of water. There's nowhere in the Bible that you read where baptism was done by sprinkling water over somebody's head, because baptism pictures death, burial, and resurrection, and the water serves as the picture of going into the ground and coming back up. So we buried with Christ through baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. So it's a visible picture. Everybody can see you being baptized, of an invisible reality. What's the invisible reality? Well, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus, I died to myself and I received a brand new life in Jesus. And all that happened invisibly. And so it was an invisible reality, and baptism pictures that for all to see. And as Paul said, "For I've been crucified with Christ," Galatians 2:20, "it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." So at First Baptist Texarkana, we're saying, hey, let's celebrate baptism. And if you have trusted Christ but have never been baptized, what better day to be baptized than on Christmas Sunday morning? You'll never forget it, because it is such a special day. And so we're really looking forward to gathering on Christmas morning to worship the Lord. And hey, if people don't come and you say, well, I can't come, I got family in or whatever, that's fine. That's your business. But we're not closing down the church because we say, well, I don't think we'll have very many people there. We're going to gather, and whoever comes, comes. And we're going to have a great time. We have childcare for 3 years old and under. And it's just going to be a time to worship and praise and give thanks to the Lord and honor Him on the day we say is the day we have chosen for His birthday. Nobody knows when Jesus was born. He's probably born most likely in the springtime, but we don't know. We don't even know the year He was born. He had to be born before 4 B.C., because Herod died in 4 B.C., and so he has to be born before the death of Herod. If not, then the Christmas story doesn't make any sense, because the wise men from the east, they came and talked to Herod, and Herod came after them and went to Bethlehem, sent on soldiers to Bethlehem to slaughter all the baby boys, 2 years old and under. And so he has to be born during the lifetime of Herod. But we've chosen December 25th, and that's the day that the world celebrates his birth. And so we're going to celebrate, and we're excited to gather on Christmas Eve to have a great service. Now, Christmas Eve for us at First Baptist Texarkana, along with many other churches, it is a time when we know lots of unbelievers are going to be there, because people come as families on Christmas Eve. And it's beautiful with the candlelight Lord's Supper service that we have. Beautiful music, and man, it's an opportunity for me as a pastor, along with so many other pastors, to share the gospel. This is what Christmas is all about. And when we have the Lord's Supper at the end of the service, I let everybody know, now listen, the Lord's Supper is very, very special and sacred to God, because when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim His death until He comes. And there's nothing more precious to God the Father than the death of His Son for the sins of the world. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 11 makes it very, very clear. If you're not right with God, do not partake of the Lord's Supper. Get your heart right with God so that you can partake. Because Paul says, for this reason, They had people in Corinth that their hearts weren't right, and they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. He said, for this reason, some among you are weak and sick, and some are dead, because that is a sacred, sacred thing. And if you treat what is holy as it is just common, God does not look favorably upon that, and there are consequences to pay. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We are 9 days out from Christmas Day, and the kids are excited, and you gotta get your shopping done. So many people shop online, and I've run into the trap where you shop online, and then it's like, can I get this in time? And so I just want to encourage you, if you need to get your shopping done, you need to get out there this weekend, or you need to go online today and start shopping, because you don't want to be caught behind the eight ball. And for years, I always shopped on Christmas Eve, and I learned through the School of Hard Knocks, that's not a good time to shop, because a lot of things are picked over, and things that you want to get, you can't find. And so I bought my wife a new car in November, and I said, Debbie, Merry Christmas. And she loves her Christmas present. But I said, there's not going to be a whole lot else, because I'm an indentured servant now for buying you this car. Not really. Anyway, this phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And let's talk about this issue of Christmas, going to church on Christmas Day, because Christmas falls on Sunday this year. What do you think about that? You think people are making a mountain out of a molehill? You think that it's fine for churches to do whatever they want? Or is it something deeper? Is it something more important? Do we honor the Lord on the Lord's Day and say, we don't follow the culture, we follow the scripture, and we're going to follow the mandates of Hebrews 10, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is he talking about, the day drawing near? It's the day of Christ's return, and we are one day closer to that day, and we need to gather to encourage one another and stimulate one another in love and good deeds. Well, we have Andy on the line from North Carolina. Andy, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Andy, are you there? All right. Well, we'll see if we can get Andy on the line. But to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds.
Can you hear me?
Okay, there you go. Hey, Andy.
Yay.
Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, thank you much. Thanks for taking the call. Question
yes, sir.
I have is, worship on Christmas is fantastic. It absolutely is. I agree. I'm going to have to put you on speaker because, well, I'm on Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Okay.
Question I have is, what about those churches who have the means and the ability to worship online, means and ability they primarily pursued as a way to address COVID concerns? And now they use that means as a way of resting volunteers during the holiday season. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that it's important to rest volunteers. It's important to have enough volunteers to where you're not just wearing people out, you know, and most of those volunteers you're talking about in the nursery. And so we try and have enough that we can rotate that out. And sometimes that's hard. And sometimes we do have to call on people, hey, can you help us again? Most churches have volunteer people and paid people to handle their nursery to make sure that's running. So we have church online, and we provide that for people that can't come. And what we say, Andy, is church online is a good supplement. It's not a good substitute, because it's not the same as assembling together. There's just something about being together, rubbing shoulders with another believer to worship the Lord together and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in the room. That's hard to capture online. It's hard to capture on television, and I'm all for television ministry. I think television ministry is a great way to reach people in, you know, behind closed doors and hospital beds and prison, in prisons, and people that are hard to reach. You can reach them through television, through the media, but it's not the same thing as being there. And anybody will tell you that, that was away during COVID. It's way different when you gather together as opposed to watching it.
No, I totally agree. I like to compare it to a charcoal fire. If you're cooking with charcoal, and we're probably of the age where we have, the more charcoal you have, the hotter the fire. That's very much the same thing in a church body. The more believers you have, the charcoal actually feeds off each other, and believers do as well. You take a believer out of it, and you lose something. You take 15 believers out of it, and you lose a lot. Right. However, you put those believers back in there, and that fire resumes, and it's much better. Anyway, that was just, my question.
Yes, sir.
There may have been others out there with similar questions. But, hey, God bless you. Appreciate your ministry. And thank you for taking the call.
Hey, thank you, Andy. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We have Kayla on the line from Texas. Kayla, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. It's Kayla Crenshaw from Champion Forest Baptist. I don't know if you remember me. Hi there.
I do. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Doing great. I mean, it's so good to hear you on the radio every day. I get fed big time. So,
thank you.
You bet. So when you first mentioned, I think it was last week or the week before, about going to church and your church is going to stand and y'all are going to be in church, it just warmed my heart. And I'm like, I wish I was there. I wish I was in Texarkana. Of course, I'm not. And I'd be at your church. There's no question about it. I'm still at Champion Forest. We have an awesome church, as you know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we're having church. I'm sure we are. But my mom has dementia, so we do a lot of television church. And so more than likely we will do that because it's hard to get her mobile. But where else would you want to be as a believer on Christmas Day than in the house of our Lord celebrating Christmas? I mean, I can't imagine sleeping in on that day and not getting up and going to church, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring so much peace, and who knows what kind of things he will do, you know? I told my mom the other day, I said, maybe the Lord will return on Christmas Day. You know, she raised her hand. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Of course, we all every day await his return eagerly. And, on that day, I'm going to be looking, but we'll just wait and see what happens. I think that's wonderful, Pastor Jeff. And, I'm not sure, like I said, I don't know if I will be in there just because I'll be with my mom.
Sure.
But if I could get her there, believe me, we would be there. We would be there, sitting on that third pew.
So here's my take on it, Kayla, is that not everybody can come. I get that. And, I don't expect us to have a huge crowd on Christmas Sunday morning. But we're going to have it, and we're not doing this for people per se. We're doing it for the Lord. We're there to worship the Lord, and so it's for Him. And so it doesn't have to be elaborate. You know, we can gather around a guitar or around a keyboard and just sing and praise Him. And we're doing the baptisms, and we're going to preach His word. It's not going to be a real long service, probably 45 minutes to an hour. But we're just going to honor Him and put Him first on that day. You know, I think about the movie Chariots of Fire and Eric Little when he wouldn't run on Sunday. And he had to choose a different event in the Olympics because he wouldn't dishonor the Lord. And he felt like that was dishonoring to the Lord if he ran on Sunday. We've come a long way from that day and that mindset. But we need to get back to that and honoring Him. So
Yeah, love it. I love it. That's great, Jeff. I really, really, that makes me just excited. So, and encourages me to just get more bold for the Lord. Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thank you, and tell your mother I said hello, and God bless you, Kayla. It's great to talk to you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today, and the phone lines are open. We have many on the line, and so we are up against a break. So if you guys can just stay on hold for a little bit, and then I'll get to Pam and Lucy and Henry and Melissa when we come back. You're listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about gathering together on Christmas Sunday morning to worship the Lord. Why are some churches saying we're canceling Sunday so that you can stay home? We're not doing that at First Baptist Texarkana. We're going to gather to worship the Lord together. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with your calls.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference. Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word. And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint like the prophets in the Old Testament to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about having church on Christmas Sunday morning, following the command of Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to talk to you if you'd like to weigh in on this subject. And we have Lucy from Kansas on the line. Lucy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I really want to appreciate you covering this topic, because as it happened 7 years ago, and, you know, I had sent out already a series of emails to people I thought were important who had radio programs like A.W. Jackson to say, please, somebody talk about this. Sent an email to my church, you know, and I always did that. I say, because, you know, I cannot understand why we wouldn't go to church to worship. I mean, what a sweet spot to be, to get two in one, you know,
yes.
Sunday morning, Christmas Day. I want to think back many years ago to my first experience of Christmas in America, because I grew up, we had church on Christmas Day. It didn't matter what day of the week it was.
Right.
We went to church, you know. So I remember my first Christmas here many years ago, we drove around everywhere looking for a church that was open so that we could have church, because I really didn't feel like it was Christmas because we did not go to church. Eventually, we did find a church that would open on Sunday. We didn't worship there because they were not biblically sound. But
right.
On Christmas Day, they sang carols. So we went, you know, every time we're in that city, we would go to their church. My other point is this. I don't know why we would complain that Fauci closes the church down if we close it down whenever we feel like it, because it's not convenient. And I remember, I think 7 or how many years ago, the news media were actually making fun of us because they said, and rightfully so, that, oh, we only want to go to church when it's convenient for us. So even the image, the representation, yes, everybody cannot come, but to make it, you know, we're closing down the church and, you know, spend the time with your family. What about the church family? Thank
right.
you.
That's a good word. Hey, Lucy, where are you from?
American now, but I was born in Nigeria.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you were in one of the countries in Africa. I was in Kenya a few years back and got to share the gospel with a lot of different villages there in Kenya. And God bless you. I think you had a great word, Lucy. And I was like that, too. I grew up Catholic, and in the Catholic Church, we always had church on Christmas Day. And I remember my first Christmas as a Christian. I went to the Baptist church and Christmas was on Thursday or whatever. And I thought, well, for sure they have church. It's Christmas. And I was the only one there. So empty parking lot. And I learned very quickly in Southern Baptist life, they don't have church on Christmas unless it is on a Sunday. And now what we're learning is many churches don't have it on Sunday because they don't. They say we really can't do that. We want to give our folks just time to be together as a family. Well, I think we need to come together as the family of God on the Lord's Day and worship Him. Well, we have, who do we have? We have Pam on the line from Louisiana. Pam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Merry Christmas. Thank you for taking my call.
Merry Christmas to you.
I just want to say amen to the last caller, Lucy. I agree with everything that she said. And I just feel very passionately that Christmas should be about Jesus. And I know that we should have grace for people who cannot make it and for the fact that it's not his actual birthday, but he is to be celebrated. And I think that a lot of people today, myself included in the past, want to be Martha and be busy with everything when we need to be Mary and we need to be at his feet and we need to be grateful. And I have a 3-year-old son, and I get a lot of pushback from family members and friends who are not saved that I'm robbing him of his childhood, because he's 3 years old and he knows there's no Santa, but he knows about Jesus Christ and that, you know, Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, whoever, they are not giving him a chance for eternal salvation, but Jesus Christ is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's
amen.
All I wanted to say.
Amen. Thank you,
so
Pam.
Thank you, and amen.
Amen.
Thank
and
you.
I appreciate you. Heart for the Lord and heart to teach your kids the truth. And the truth is Jesus is God's only Son and man's only Savior, and we worship Him who died on the cross for us and rose again from the dead. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. And so I appreciate you calling in. We have Melissa on the line from Texas. Melissa, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Shreve. I have so enjoyed getting introduced to you through your show over these past few months.
Well, thank you.
I come with a slightly different perspective.
Okay.
I do not keep Sunday. I believe that it's a Catholic tradition. I know that the Emperor Constantine, around the year 321 or so, had the Council of Nicaea, and they voted to make Sunday the day of worship. So there's nothing holy about it. It's a man's tradition. But I know that there's a principle that should always guide us, which is I fall on Isaiah 66:23, which I believe is a picture of what the world will be after Jesus comes back and reigns again. It says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me." So I don't see where God would ever have an exception. I think that the problem is that a lot of churches are just becoming more and more secularized. They're looking more and more like the world, and they're taking God less and less seriously. So that is my comment. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it, Melissa. Yeah, I would say that just in response to that, most conservative Bible scholars and Christians would say in the New Testament you find them gathering on the first day of the week. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, let each of you put aside and save as he may prosper, and no collections be made when I come. The first day of the week, John was worshiping on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day was Sunday, the first day of the week. I heard a message years ago, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. On the Old Testament, you worked and then worshiped. The day of worship was the Sabbath day. And in the New Testament, we worship. First day of the week is Sunday. We worship and then we work, because the Lord has done all the work. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And so there is obviously a shift in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and Jesus made that shift at the Last Supper when he said, "Hey, you're having the Passover meal, where the Passover meal is now the Lord's Supper. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." And there was a definite shift there. And so God bless you for that comment, though, and I appreciate it. Different point of view. Well, we have Porphy from Corpus Christi, Texas. Porphy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Merry Christmas, Pastor Jeff.
Merry Christmas.
I just have a comment.
Yes,
sir. My pastor, Mike Ular, in New Life Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, is having Christmas Eve services on Friday afternoon at 7, uh-huh, and then again on Saturday at 6. And
right,
he gave us Sunday off. So he's accommodating the travelers and the people who are staying home. And that's all. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. God bless you. I appreciate the comment. We have Bill from West Virginia on the line. Bill, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I just want to say the lady from Kenya hit the nail right on the head, as far as I'm concerned. I'm 78 now, and I remember when I was even a child, probably way before I was even saved, when Christmas fell on Sunday, it was the day that it should be. It's his day, it's his birthday, you know, and we celebrate his birthday on that day. And I just listened to her, and my goodness, she was absolutely right. And even, you know, when his day of celebration doesn't fall on a Sunday, it falls. The churches used to, years ago, like she said, they used to have church on that day too, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We don't do that anymore either. So I want to just say thank you to her for what she had to say to you on the show. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I agree, Bill. She was from Nigeria, and I had mentioned Kenya because I'd been in Kenya, but yeah, I think she was spot on. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in. We have Dan from Indiana on the line. Dan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh,
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas, as everyone else is saying. I missed a lot of your previous part because I just got in the car, but I just had a was kind of called in to my pastor yesterday because we're not having church on Sunday, Christmas Sunday, and it's very upsetting to me. And so his point was we're having not just a candlelight Christmas Eve service, but a bigger service where we're trying to invite a whole lot of people, and he feels like there's a much better impact that will have more people come and potentially come into the kingdom of Christ, and that realistically we're talking about a 7-hour difference, and I'm being legalistic and traditional in thinking that we should also turn around and have Christmas on Sunday, or service on Christmas Day, Sunday. So what do you think about that? Is that a pretty good answer that we're having a big service on Christmas Eve?
Well, and a lot of churches are having a big service on Christmas Eve, but we still turn around and say, Sunday is Sunday. That's the Lord's Day, and so we're going to gather on Sunday. I know personally we're going to have a whole lot more people here on Christmas Eve than we're going to have on Christmas Sunday morning, but that doesn't change the fact that we're going to gather. And if I gather just with my family and whoever else comes, and instead of having 1,500 people, we have 100 people, that's okay, but we're not closing down just because it's Christmas. As my guest Tom Askell said, we're not going to follow the culture. We're going to follow the Scripture, and they came together the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, to worship Him, and that's what we're going to do too. And whether it falls on Christmas or whether it falls on New Year's Day, it doesn't matter. Now, we may have to make some adjustments with childcare and things like that, But even if you had no child care, if you just said, hey, we're just coming. So Christmas Eve, we don't provide child care. We just say, hey, just bring your kids. This is a time for kids. And Christmas is a fun time for kids. And kids make Christmas exciting in the home. And so we just say, just bring your kids. If they start crying, go out into the foyer. You can watch the service on the screens. But we want to gather, and we want to honor the Lord, and the Lord has said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the one who honors me, him will I honor. So that's my take on that, Dan. I'm not trying to throw any other pastor under the bus, but I just don't understand why we would not gather on that Sunday, the Lord's Day, and just worship him. And it can be very, very simple. But as Tom Askell and I were talking about, if church becomes an event, then it's hard to put on an event when a lot of people are out. But if church is a service where you gather to worship the King, then that makes more sense to me that you would just, hey, we're going to come together, we're going to gather, and we're going to worship. So those are my two cents on that, Dan. I appreciate you calling in, and I hope that's helpful to you. Well, we have Logan on the line from Dallas, Texas. Logan, welcome to Real Truth for Today. We have about a minute and a half.
Hey, buddy. I'm just going to say bravo to that female caller earlier that brought up the history of Constantine. She was dead on that history. There's a lot more to it. I wish more Christians would get into church history or even into the Bible in general, because you'll even see Paul was asking people to collect on the first day so that there's no need when he came. And this is in Acts. You will find the famine that he was actually referring to. And it's real neat when you add the church history to those moments, and you'll see that they are actually meeting daily. You know, it wasn't a Saturday, Sunday thing. That wasn't until Constantine and many Christians died resisting him, changing laws and times, which the Bible did talk about a man coming to change laws and times. I'd say the only law in the Ten Commandments that's also a time would have been the Saturday.
Okay, amen. Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing, Logan. God bless you, my brother. And so I'm sorry we didn't get to Kathy or Joe. And Kathy, if you can give them your phone number information to the people at AFR, we will contact you right after the program and pray with you over the situation that you are dealing with. And so God bless you. Thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's always a joy to be with you every morning as we share truth from God's Word. Hey, Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Know that God will use you, and know that you can be a blessing this Christmas as you shop, as you go to restaurants, as you carry on your day. God bless you. I'll see you again on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.